Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're really zooming in, focusing specifically on Session 5 from a Sunless Citadel game. This one's from GM Wintermute's channel on YouTube.
That's right. You sent this one over. And yeah, it's a great snapshot. Really classic fantasy dungeon crawl stuff packed into one session.
Exactly. So our mission today is to sort of unpack this session, the key moves, the fights, what we learned just from the specific slice of their adventure.
And Session 5 picks up after they've already dealt with some goblins, right? And they pick up that halfling ally, Irk Timbers, who seems a bit unpredictable.
Yeah, a little bit.
So now in this session, they're pushing deeper. And while the challenges definitely start to ramp up, we'll look at their choices, the encounters, and you know what it tells us about the Citadel itself, all within Session 5.
Okay, let's dive in then. Session 5 kicks off. They're heading back into goblin-controlled areas. And right away, there's this question. Short rest or push on?
Yeah. And they talk about a long rest, but quickly decide against it. Probably smart, right? Hanging around too long in goblin territory. Not usually a good idea.
Seems like a good call. And it pays off, sort of, because while they're searching a room, they find something pretty grim. The body of a ranger.
Yes. And the detail here is quite something. You get the leather armor, the weapons, 5 daggers, a longbow.
Yeah.
Sounds like he was ready for trouble.
Definitely equipped.
But then you also get the small stuff, the water skin, rations, bedroll. Reminds you he was, you know, a person, not just gear. And the big thing, a gold ring with his name engraved on it.
Right, so not just some random casualty. This was someone specific, and it turns out he wasn't alone.
Part of a previous group, apparently. 4 of them came down here before. This ranger, a burglar, a paladin, Sir Bradford Sherwin.
Yeah, that's the one. Apparently he liked to boast about some magical orb he had. And there was a cleric, too, Shaolin.
Okay, so this immediately adds layers, doesn't it? It tells the current party, right here in Session 5, that they aren't the first. And that previous attempts maybe didn't go so well for everyone involved.
For sure. It definitely ups the tension. This place isn't just some walk in the park. It eats adventurers.
Exactly. It establishes the danger level. And that bit about Sir Bradford and his orb, well, that just screams plot point, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. You just know that's going to come back somehow. What happened to the others? Where's the orb? Lots of questions planted right here in Session 5.
So seeing this stark reminder of the danger, they decide, okay, maybe we do need a proper rest, but they're cautious.
Right. They find a room, it's got a door, and there's a pit outside. They figure that's more defensible than maybe the kobold areas they saw earlier.
A tactical choice.
Yeah.
Better choke points, maybe easier to watch. And surprisingly, they actually manage a full 8-hour long rest. No interruptions in this session.
Yeah, sometimes you just get lucky, or maybe the spot was genuinely safer. A bit of good planning pays off.
Well, it shows they're learning the environment, right? Figuring out the relatively safer spots. And even while resting, they're looking at their map, noting unexplored bits, like the northwest corner. Still thinking ahead in Session 5.
Planning their next move. So, rested up, they decide to check out that door to the north they hadn't opened yet.
And boom. Things change fast. They open it and find this big 40-foot domed chamber.
The description is pretty striking, isn't it? There's a shaft in the floor glowing with this weird violet light.
Yeah, and sickly white and gray vines climbing around it instantly feels off, unnatural. Sets a whole different mood for this part of the session.
Totally. And the room itself, it's got torches, a throne made of rough stone.
With an iron chest as a footstool.
Right. And a sapling in a pot next to it. It feels like, you know, an important place, not just another empty room.
Definitely suggests significance. Like, this is where someone important hangs out. And guess what? Someone is hanging out there.
Yeah. Sitting right on that throne is a hobgoblin. Looks like the leader. And he's got buddies with him. You know what that means. No time for pleasantries. Initiative gets rolled. Instant combat right here in Session 5.
Classic D&D moment. Exploration turns to confrontation on a dime. The throne setup immediately gives you the boss, the main target.
And the fight kicks off. We see Nedelak use Hunter's Mark, focusing on one target. Damon and Anna are shooting crossbows, using spears.
Shannon throws out a bless spell, trying to buff the party's chances. Even Irk Timbers gets in on the action. It's all happening at once.
Chaos, basically. But tactical chaos, maybe?
Well, yeah, you see different approaches. Nedelak going for the leader, Shannon boosting everyone. They're trying to position themselves, get an edge. It's not just random swinging.
The hobgoblin chief isn't just sitting there, though. He shouts orders, takes a shot with his longbow. Mrs. Nedelec, thankfully.
Lucky break. But then another hobgoblin comes running in from another door, more enemies piling in.
And then someone casts fireball in a domed room.
Yeah, risky. It apparently bounces off the walls, always dicey using area spells indoors. But then something even crazier happens.
That sucks.
A gust of wind spell hits one of the goblins.
Oh, no.
And blows him right into that central shaft with the violet light.
Whoosh, gone.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Just poof, down the hole. A very dramatic exit in this session shows how magic can really change the battlefield.
Wow. Okay, so after more fighting, they finally take down the hobgoblin chief. Big moment in session five.
Huge. But wait, there's more.
Of course there is.
That sapling in the pot next to the throne, it suddenly animates. It's a twig blight.
Ugh, plant monsters. Just when you think it's over.
Never a dull moment in the Sunless Citadel, it seems. Even the decorations can attack you.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of hints that the weird plant life here is connected to the inhabitants, maybe corrupted.
Okay, so chief's down, twig blight's active.
Fine.
What happens next? Metalak does something pretty bold.
Ah, yes. He grabs the chief's sword, holds it up.
And tries to intimidate the other goblins, the ones in the next room. And it turns out they're like commoners, women, kids, non-combatants.
Whoa. That adds a whole different dimension, doesn't it? Using the dead leader's symbol to scare folks who aren't even fighters. It's effective, but morally gray.
A bit, yeah. But it works. His bluff succeeds. The goblins are terrified. They start putting down their weapons. Right there in session five.
Shows how much authority that chief must have had. His death completely broke their will to fight. And it gives the adventurers an opening.
They take it. They ask about other people who came down here. And the goblins say, yeah, two other adventurers are down below with the outcasts.
Outcasts. Okay, that's new.
And you get there via the central shaft. More mystery piled on in this session.
Definitely. So there are other people deeper down, possibly another faction, these outcasts, and maybe the rest of Sir Bradford's group ended up down there. So many questions.
While the scared goblins are shuffling out, the party starts looting, naturally. Session five is payday time.
Gotta check the pockets. Chief's sword looks fancy, decorated, maybe worth something.
And the iron chest footstool, locked, of course, and trapped with a poison needle.
Standard procedure. Did they get past it?
Yep. Anna disables it. Good skills. Inside. A decent chunk of gold, 231 pieces, and two onyx gems.
Nice haul. What about the chief himself?
Even more stuff.
Yeah.
Antitoxin vials, interesting. They had those keys. A necklace, healing potion, a couple of scrolls, expeditious retreat, and fairy fire.
Useful spells.
Silver earrings, splint armor, and another ring, a signet ring.
Oh, any markings?
Yeah, the Krell family crest, apparently, and it says Tau Gems.
Krell family, Tau Gems. Okay, that sounds like another clue. Maybe connected to who built this place or who used to run it. Definitely something to track outside of just session five.
They also check a garbage pile nearby because, you know, adventurers.
Hey, you never know what treasure someone threw away.
And they find a healer's kit, a poisoner's kit.
Healer and poisoner. Covers all the bases, I guess. Or suggests conflicting activities down here.
And weirdly, a really nice agate statue of an elven god, Corellon Larathian. Plus a chain shirt. It's a real mix of junk and, well, not junk.
That statue feels really out of place with hobgoblins, doesn't it? Like it belongs to someone else entirely. Maybe from before they moved in. Another piece of the Citadel's history revealed in session five.
So loaded up with loot and information about people down below, they decide to brave the shaft. Session five isn't over yet.
How do they get down?
They use those thick, pale vines lining it as handholds. Sounds a bit dodgy to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to trust potentially sickly vines with my life, but okay. Where does it lead?
Into a completely different area. It's like an underground garden. Everything's lit by that violet glow, but now it's coming from fungus on the walls and ground.
Whoa, bioluminescence. Cool.
Yeah, but it feels damp, chilly, smells like dirt and decay, rotting plants, animal remains. Very different vibe from the stone rooms above.
A whole new environment within the Citadel discovered in this session. Suggests different levels, maybe different purposes. That violet light and decay smell still feels unnatural, though.
And guess who's down there tending the garden? Two figures in robes. They seem to be looking after potted twig blights, like the one they just fought.
Uh-oh. More gardeners?
Sort of. Turns out the robes are hiding skeletons.
Skeletons. Okay, so undead groundskeepers. Lovely. More fighting then.
Pretty much instantly. Combat starts again late in session five. Spells fly like chill touch.
And Urk Timbers pulls out a holy symbol. I thought he was just a halfling rogue type.
Apparently he has some faith. He uses it to turn one of the skeletons, makes it run away.
Handy. Always good to have someone who can deal with undead.
Yeah.
But I bet that's not the end of it.
Nope. Because then a fire snake pops out of a hole in the wall.
A fire snake. Okay, things just got weirder. Where did that come from?
Just a hole in the cavern, apparently. Suggests there are other things living down here besides goblins and undead plants.
And I'm guessing it's not friendly.
Not at all. It actually attacks the other skeleton first.
Huh. Okay.
But then it turns on the party. Bites Tempest, deals physical and fire damage. Nasty combination.
Ouch. So they're fighting skeletons and a fire snake now in session 5.
Yep. More spells get thrown. Inflict Wounds, Looming Blade. Urk steps up again, heals Tempest with Cure Wounds. Teamwork making the dream work.
Good thing they have a healer, even if it's the unpredictable halfling. That fire damage can add up fast.
Eventually, after taking a beating, they manage to kill the fire snake. End of that fight in session 5.
Yeah. Did they find anything else down there?
Yeah, near where the snake came out, they find 2 sapphires worth 50 gold each. They think maybe they were an offering to the snake.
An offering to a fire snake. That's bizarre.
Yes.
Suggests some kind of weird ritual or maybe someone trying to appease the local wildlife. More layers to this place.
Definitely strange. So wrapping up session 5, they quickly check the body of that goblin wizard who fell down the shaft earlier.
The one who got Gus winded.
Yeah, him. All they find is a set of keys.
And keys are always potentially useful, though. Could open anything later.
True. And they spot a passageway leading away from the garden. Looks like it goes down into a natural cavern. So clearly there's still more to explore.
Always more dungeon to delve. Leaves you wanting to know what's in that cavern, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So, wow, what a session. Session 5 packed in a lot. We went from tense goblin interactions and negotiation.
Right, that whole bluff with the chief sword.
To a big hobgoblin battle. Then descending into this weird underground garden, fighting skeletons and a random fire snake. It was nonstop.
Yeah, a real mix of classic adventuring beats, combat, exploration, discovering clues about past adventurers, hints of deeper plots. It had it all. And that discovery of the ranger really set the stakes early on.
It really did. What stood out to you most from just this session?
I think the group's adaptability, really. How they handled the surrender was clever, even if a bit intimidating. And how they dealt with the unexpected threats, like the twig blight and the fire snake. Plus, getting that info about the outcasts down below. That opens up a whole new direction.
Yeah, who are these outcasts? And that Krell family signet ring found on the hobgoblin chief.
Exactly. Tau Gems. That feels important. Is that family connected to the Citadel's past? Or maybe just this hobgoblin leader? So many threads pulled just in session 5.
It really makes you wonder what's waiting for them deeper down, where these outcasts supposedly are, and if they'll find the rest of Sir Bradford's party. Lots to think about.
For sure. A really dense and fascinating session. It definitely leaves you wanting to see what happens next.
Well, thanks for digging into this specific session with us. It's given us, and hopefully everyone listening, plenty to chew on. We'll have to see where the adventure leads next time.